When Chris Van Allsburg won the prestigious Caldecott Medal for his book Jumanji, he told the audience that he was always disappointed playing board games as a child. He said, "Even when I owned Park Place with three hotels, I never truly felt rich, and not being able to interrogate Colonel Mustard personally was always a letdown." Jumanji is the story of a most unusual board game that literally comes to life. It's been made into a movie starring Robin Williams and opens this week. Van Allsburg didn't set out to be a children's book author and illustrator. He studied sculpture and taught art before he caught the attention of Houghton Mifflin. Looking through all of his books, one is struck by the gentle surrealism and the wistful sense of faith and mystery. His books include The Polar Express, which also won a Caldecott, The Garden of Abdul-Ghazazi, The Wreck of the Zephyr, The Wretched Stone, Two Bad Ants, and his latest, Bad Day at River Bend. It's about a sleepy town that is terrified by the invasion of strange, greasy-looking squiggles that seem to come out of nowhere. He said the book was inspired by his 4-year-old daughter, Sophia, who, like many children her age, is a passionate and prolific coloring book artist.
Well, the coloring book she had was a Peter Pan coloring book, and it had an image in it of Princess Summer, Spring, Winterfall. And the expression in the coloring book that the princess wore was one of kind of shock and dismay. She was drowning or something.
Yeah.
But my daughter went at the princess with orange and purple and green crayons. And when I saw those two things together, the shocked expression on the princess's face and the odd marks my child had made, I had the sense that the princess was responding to being colored. And that started me thinking about telling the story of a coloring book from the point of view of the people who live there.
Well, I think there is a kind of theme in a number of your books, and I don't know whether this strikes you or not, but the theme of chaos intruding in apparent tranquility, whether it's Jumanji, which I think people know, even the Polar Express, the idea that this train can come into a snowy little town, and certainly in this book, where,
mm-hmm. yes,
where this
yes.
Town where nothing happens, all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose.
Right. It appeals to me as an artist, not as a person. I mean, I resist it in my own life. And so I experience it vicariously in the pages of a book. In River Bend, it truly is simply chaos because the characters never articulate why it's so bad to have purple and green marks across your body.
Right.
But they definitely don't want it because they've never had it. And it just seems wrong, just plain wrong to them.
As an artist, what interests you in that idea? If you don't live a chaotic life, but maybe your imagination is intrigued by chaos, what is it?
Well, it's the idea of, I think one of the things that people, at least in myself, I dislike chaos because I don't have control over it. It defines chaos. But as an artist, I can create chaos on a piece of paper and control it completely. I not only make it, but once it's done, I can look at it. And it's a little like going to the reptile house where there's a big glass window and you can get right up next to these creepy things, but you are in control and you feel safe.
Hmm. What kinds of books did you read as a kid? Ones that you think had any kind of influence on you?
The one I remember most clearly is Harold and the Purple Crayon. And I think I remember it just because it had an idea that was so interesting and exciting to me as a kid, being able to take a crayon and make something, and then draw a door, walk through the door, make a stairway, walk up the stair. And Bad Day at River Bend is a little bit like that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds...
Because there's a crayon mark that has a true reality. But as a storyteller, I can't remember a lot of stories, and when people ask me about that, what stimulates me now as a storyteller, and I think the things that played a role in me as a child were my exposure to The Twilight Zone and also reading Mad Magazine. These were the things that I really remember.
Well, I'm a big fan of Mad Magazine, and certainly I remember those. The images are very powerful, and it's a very gutsy, in-your-face, irreverent kind of magazine.
Well, it was subversive. I don't know if it was the story qualities in them, but it had a subversiveness that I appreciated.
What about The Twilight Zone?
Well, The Twilight Zone, I didn't consider myself a young moralist, but even as a child, I think I appreciated the sort of compact moral stories that were told in a way that always made the moral seem secondary to the story. The plot drove the show, But at the end, the moral premise was quite clear.
When did you start drawing as a kid?
Well, about the same time I was watching The Twilight Zone, I think. My favorite subject matter as a child, possibly because I lived in tornado country and it was the 50s, I drew bomb shelters. Elaborate plans for bomb shelters that were basically a little straight line at the top of the page, a tiny little structure that looked like an outhouse. But having passed this outhouse, you could take an elevator down, subterranean, and there were bowling alleys and movie theaters and swimming pools and things in my bomb shelters. I think maybe I was trying to make myself feel better about the possible eventuality of having to live underground for a few years. How could we make it comfortable?
Did you have either parents or teachers that saw your talents, that wanted to steer you towards a career in the arts?
No.
Or this came from yourself?
Didn't even come from myself till I got into college. I wasn't much interested in art when I was in high school.
Why not?
I don't know. The art was an elective in my high school, and I had the impression that guidance counselor used it for disciplinary problems. You know, the really bad kids went to industrial arts, and the kind of soft core bad kids went to art.
And you didn't want to be either of those?
Well, it was just that there was a level of chaos in those classrooms that I didn't want to experience.
So literally, you didn't draw, you didn't doodle, even?
Doodle. I made some cruel caricatures of some of my teachers.
And do you still have those?
No, they were taken away from me.
You I guess, got a master's degree in sculpture.
Is
that right?
Well, first a bachelor's degree, then a master's degree, right?
So you were obviously interested in being a sculptor. That was where you thought you were headed?
You know, that's when I had a premonition that art could be fun. But then when I found out that you could go through school and carve wood and things like that, I mean, those are things I did in camp during the summer. And it was remarkable to me that I could get a college degree doing what was essentially the same thing I did as a boy, building model cars and making things out of clay. It was a phenomenal discovery.
So what were some of the things that you made, some of those early pieces?
Well, I was interested in making things stop so that a little like the glass window at the reptile house, I could get close to tragedy or chaos and look at it very closely but not have to consider the outcome. So I did a large bronze casting of the Titanic sinking, and I also did the iceberg that went with it. And I did some sculptures of things breaking, but in the sort of stop action. So I did a picture of a cone with a ball shooting through it, but it's just the moment that the cone has been ruptured by the ball. But being bronze, it's static. And
so you like this idea of stopping time, stopping this tragic moment?
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, because once you stop it, I guess you do control it, and maybe it's not so bad anymore. You know, there's some people speculated that that's the one of the values in introducing kind of edgy material into children's books, because it's on the page of a book and they can control it and they can experience those emotions without the kind of, devastating effect that, you know, the real thing can cause.
My guest is children's book illustrator and author Chris Van Allsburg. We'll be back after a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is author and illustrator Chris Van Allsburg. His book Jumanji has just been made into a movie. His novel, The Polar Express, celebrates its 10th anniversary this year. I read that The Polar Express began for you with an image mm-hmm. of a train in the snowy woods.
Exactly, yes.
And that image is in the book?
That image is in the book, except the trains moved from the snowy woods to the front of a home. So, like some of the other books I've written, it's often the story is often stimulated by an image that presents itself in my imagination. It's not something I look for or call up; it just gets there. And I'm not sure where the train in the snowy woods came from, but once I saw it, it had a compelling quality to me, and I thought about the train being in front of my house, and then I thought about waiting for the train. And I thought about the destinations the train might have. And this sounds kind of corny, but most of the stories I've written, I sort of had to search for. You think, well, the story can go in this direction, it can go in this one, and you work out a number of ideas and do quite a few drafts. But the Polar Express was different because it felt for me like a memory.
Hmm.
It really, I wrote it more quickly than any of the stories I've written. And it just seemed like the story was already there. I just hadn't thought about it. And as soon as I thought about it, it was there, and I wrote it quite quickly.
So it was emotionally true? Is that what that memory meant to you?
I think the fact that it felt so much like a memory, it must have, the contemplation of the story must have triggered a lot of emotions that were, you know, true to my adult emotions and also the emotions that I longed for as an adult that I experienced as a child and knew were not going to happen again.
Let me talk to you a little bit about Jumanji. And this was a book that you wrote back in, what, 1981, I think it was?
That's right.
Where did this idea for a book come from? And this was your second book.
I think the idea came from that same sort of idea that attracts me as an artist of having emotions that you don't think of having at the same time. Maybe not necessarily incompatible, but unlikely. And that idea visually was in the pictures for this, which is namely you have a domestic setting, a living room, and then you have in that living room something that doesn't belong there, namely a rhinoceros. So I was interested in that visually, and having sort of fixed on that idea as a picture idea, I put on my writer's hat and wondered what kind of story could account for these peculiar pictures. I didn't really draw the pictures, just some little sketches. And I came up with the idea of the board game, and I've always been disappointed in board games that didn't deliver the goods. I think a lot of people are. That's why CD-ROMs are so popular, because they come closer to delivering the goods. Well, Jumanji really delivers the goods, because everything the board says happens.
Were you involved in any way with the making of the movie Jumanji?
I was. I actually prepared one of the scripts, but it was one of a few different scripts, and it went into the long process of development. And so there were many changes made to it.
And have you seen the movie Jumanji?
I have.
And do you want to give us your analysis of that of that movie, of your idea?
Well, the film is very faithful to the part of the book that is used in the film, and that is just this plot premise that the roll of the dice creates terrible things, and as a dramatic device, it's quite effective because it creates this sort of rhythm in the game. Often in action films, you aren't quite sure when the bad thing's going to happen, but in Jumanji, when they pick up the dice, you get ready, and and there's a little suspense each time. But it's clearly an action film, and while that's not my favorite genre of film, I had in mind something a little more, that had some of the quiet mystery of the book. It was given the action treatment, and it's a good action film.
Do you have any regrets, though, of giving over, which I guess any writer has to do when they give over their story idea to a movie?
Well, if I didn't have regrets, I'd be the first person in the history of books being made into films who didn't. Not really regrets. I mean, I knew enough of about bad outcomes, good outcomes, mm-hmm. that I was prepared for all kinds of changes the book could have gone through.
But did you feel a sense of ownership or proprietariness that you wanted to hold on to either these characters or even the look of the book?
Well,
did you just go through that?
I did not so much as the creator of the book, because there wasn't so much of the book that was going to be used in the film except that very slight premise of the jungle board game. And maybe some of the psychological premise too, which has to do with the courage of the children. But as a screenwriter, I was protective of the ideas that I established for the screen story, and I fought for those and tried to find other people to advocate for them, and I did. But there's so many people involved in making movies; it's like running for office.
That's children's book author and illustrator Chris Van Allsburg. His book Jumanji is now a movie. The Polar Express celebrates its 10th anniversary this year, and his latest book is called Bad Day at River Bend. This is Fresh Air.